Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I suppose the time has come that we should pay for parking. You know, now that we're number 28 out of 31, we try harder.
I knew I heard that. I mean, seriously.
You want to head over to the arena? It's grit night.
And it seems to be much more popular than the other thing that they're pressing around here, which is beef stew and pancakes. Not as good as that.
It's just such a mess.
Sloppy. So sloppy.
It's really, really terrible. It's really, really. And you know what? Listen, I don't know who's jumping on the fish sticks and French toast bandwagon, but the fish sticks and French toast.
They got to stop.
This is nonsense.
They're out of control.
It originated in Iceland. I think that's where it came from.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Last night they were talking about the third longest game in Stanley Cup history. Longest overtime game with the Washington Capitals against the Carolina Hurricanes. So if I'm dragging buttocks a little bit today, please bear with me because it was late. And you know you're old when you see the number one game in Stanley Cup history. And you were there, and you remember where you were. And that's when the Washington Capitals lost to the New York Islanders in 68 minutes, which meant four overtime periods.
Wow.
8 minutes or thereabouts into the fourth overtime, the Islanders won. I was in Atlantic City, New Jersey. This one, you know, you're really old because you like you know history. You're part of history.
Were you hosting? You were hosting a beauty pageant?
No, I was down there. I wanted to gamble, but I got caught up in the game, and I went into this little lounge off the casino and hung out. Little tiny room. I remember it was a little small room with a little TV, and I just sat and watched and watched and watched, and then my only consolation was like, here's another self-destructive behavior. Not getting 2.5 hours of sleep. Now you can go and gamble.
Sure.
Go out and do it that way. So I've been around for two of the longest games where the Capitals have been on the losing end.
Oof.
So it's
you remember though.
What the hell's running? Hey, Hewlett, tell Packard I didn't do anything and I didn't press any buttons.
Printer
what are you
issues.
Doing?
Yeah.
You know what I'd like? I'd like you to just print stuff out that I print and then not give me a blank page in the middle of a printing job for no fucking reason. Stop running! So you can't hear that. I can. My computer is just going, let's mess with Mike. Mike's doing a show for no apparent reason. What are we, cleaning ourselves?
It's computer, cleaning itself.
You know what laser printers are like? They're like cats. You know, they'll sit there on the windowsill and then lick themselves for no particular reason.
Have you ever had a printer you liked?
No.
Do you hate this one less, though?
Oh,
this has been a pretty good one.
Oh, this one, yeah. This one is still broken, and I did the repair. There's a piece of plastic that I kind of jerry-rigged, and that was 3 years ago.
How did it
this
break?
This is the best printer I've ever... Oh, it's done. I count on it breaking sometime next week.
Oh, no.
I just said that.
No.
I just said that. I just screwed it. It's done.
Jinx.
It's going to break. And by the way, when I discovered those cheap cartridges of ink,
yes,
that they sell online that are so much better than the regular ones, it might be destroying the inner workings of the printer.
No,
but it sure works for me.
It tastes good.
Fantastic.
Less filling.
Less filling tastes great.
The kids like it.
Back to the Capitals. So I have been around for both, and last night was just such a nice
bummer.
Evening with my daughter, who was thinking of me and thinking of me and thinking of me. And we were texting like mad
That's
people
cool.
Between each other. And then, of course, they did what they did. But it was great hockey. And, you know, this is just my little message. And I know there are plenty of people that could mount an argument about it. But to me, when your team wins a world championship that the city has never had, you give your coach the payday.
Yes.
You give him the big payday. Oh, well, he had a contract. No. No, and by the way, all the sports writers in town, all the people in town that were kind of talking about it, they blew Barry Trotz off. And you know why they blew Barry Trotz off?
Why?
Because he was not a telegenic guy. Because he wasn't the guy with the personality. All he was just an amazingly successful NHL coach. And they went, well, Barry, I know you want like your big pay. You're kind of extorting us, and we're going to let you go because that's not really the right. No. When you bring a championship to a city, what you do is you give the man. You do, as Teddy KGB would say, Piedet mien his money.
Do you really think the reason they gave the Capitals the pass on that? Because, you know, I'm not a sports aficionado.
Capitals fans,
as an outsider looking in,
the way they deal with radio personalities that have been iconic in the market, and then they go, okay. Who's DCR Dave going to take, throw daggers at now on a website that purports to love radio?
Right.
That is designed to just attack radio personalities.
This
DC is one effed up market. And if you don't know that, you should know
now
it right now.
Yeah.
And that's why Barry Trotz, who brought them a championship, and they went, that's DC, man. It's transient. What have you done for me lately?
Yeah,
that's
you're
the
right.
Role.
You're right.
I actually was so enamored with this because I was of the opinion that they were going to win last night, and then they'd be going up against the Islanders,
and they'd lose. And then they'd lose.
Everybody said everybody thought the Caps would win.
Yes. Yeah. So I started looking in and digging in and going into our sources, Mike. We have sources here at Podcast Village, so different people that are unnamed sources.
Exactly.
That I might have heard a conversation or two as I walk through the halls. So I will not give them any credit, but I did hear this, that it wasn't a financial issue, as they're reporting. It was an interpersonal issue where the personalities were clashing.
Really?
Yes.
Like perhaps players?
No, like
management, like owner,
yes,
coach. Well, I knew it was something, but it doesn't matter.
Because it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense at the time, and yet everyone just was kind of like, I guess.
And it's not something that's easily just spoken about because it's frowned upon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
It wasn't hygiene, was it?
No.
Okay.
Okay. But it. All I know is, if you would think about keeping pieces of a puzzle, of a successful puzzle.
Oh, you don't mess up. You don't mess up recipe.
It's taken you 40 years to put
together. He was a corner piece. He was a big deal. Yeah.
A corner piece.
Of the puzzle. I mean, that's a big part of the puzzle.
Is a centerpiece, perhaps? Or,
the centerpiece.
Are corners easy to put in a puzzle?
It would be a cornerstone.
Cornerstone. You're right. Yeah.
Not a corner piece. Mm-hmm. That's like a real nail biter, which they've never let you forget. They've never let you forget that. A nail biter. Remember that one you got crap about?
You know what? It was really misunderstood. It was meant to be a sarcastic remark. I understand what a nail biter is. But you know what? Go ahead and cast your stones. It's a dark day for DC, and everyone is looking for a fall guy. I can be that fall guy.
What do you think Barry Trotz felt?
I think there is every possibility. I think there is every possibility. And, and I think thanks to you, Oscar, I've modified my behavior over the years. And I look to myself. I look in the mirror. I think there is a slim. I think there's tremendous possibility. Let me start again.
Okay, please.
I think there is the possibility that Barry Trotz may not be as petty and small-minded as me. But I think the odds of that are, I think there has to be a smile that he's not. I would say,
would you say mixed emotions?
Well, no, I would say as coach of the New York Islanders, there are two things at play here. These guys are elite competitors, both coaches and players. So there's a part of him that said, hey, I'd love to take my old team on head-to-head and like that. But then there's another part of him that has to say, well, there we go.
Yeah.
Maybe if I was there.
Cast because that die.
Because wouldn't you say you watched that game? Wouldn't you say at the end of that game there was a motivation problem with the Washington Capitals?
That's the tough part where it's game seven. They shouldn't have been in that position technically to begin with. And then they come out of the gates scoring goals. And I looked at Rofo and I said,
I love you.
I said, keep rubbing my feet. No. I said, he goes, 2-0.
Not I'm between like, the toes.
I said, 2-0. And he was like, I don't know, man. It's too early for 2-0. That's what I said.
Yeah, and the and some of the analysis on the game was that, hey, they start fast and then they peter out. But, you know, it's interesting to me. So you thought it was you read on your deep dive that it was a personality conflict.
What would verify that?
Were your sources over at that radio station we used to work at?
No.
You know?
No.
That radio station, incredible apologist for management?
The whole...
They are.
Mike. And, you know, tough break for them.
The whole point of a source is not to talk about your source.
That's right.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. But I heard from behind the scenes, too.
Okay.
That, and what I didn't like hearing that. I didn't like the quiet throw Barry Trotz under the bus campaign, and you know it was kind of like that.
Yeah,
right?
it was kind of like Barry Trotz. You couldn't tell the truth.
Yeah, and that just, you know, it doesn't matter.
You know what would verify
it? A legend, by the way.
What would verify it is if Trotz in the next 24 hours or so comes out with a statement that says, "I feel bad for some of the players."
A competitor like that probably looks at, you can separate what the competition is, I imagine, and what the interpersonal relationships would have been.
Yeah, and, you know, for me, you know, there are little things that I notice when I'm watching my hockey. And by the way, if you're not into hockey, I apologize. We don't do this very often.
Hockey talk.
This will be, you know, we'll talk about it maybe at the championship. But, you know, we're going to, for my money, Doc Emmerich, the greatest play-by-play announcer in the ballgame, sure wish he'd been in the booth for NBC. Instead of Kenny Albert, who makes his mouth like this, and so that's why he's one of the old school sportscasters that closes.
Do you still like me picture Kenny Albert as like a kid? Like he's like 18, 19, and now he's probably 70. I mean, he's been around.
It's one of these guys that does this. There's something about certain sportscasters where
it's fake.
That is fake.
If you're speaking, like Vin Scully, who opens his mouth up wide, and John Miller, who lets everything go.
Then you get these uptight sportscaster.
Then you have Vern Lundquist, who opens his mouth at the Masters, and everything is fantastic. And then you have the guys that are like, and I've never understood the guys that are so, this is the sports guy. It's fake.
Yeah.
It's a fake
it's
way
an
of
affectation,
talking.
An affectation.
It's an affectation. So anyway, we didn't get the great guy who, you know, doesn't care because he's just such a great play-by-play guy. Doc Emmerich, who we've been trying to get on the show for a million years. Maybe this will be
maybe he's got some time now.
But it doesn't really matter now that our team, you know, is out of there.
We can plant the seed, Mike.
Yes. It's the Carolina Hurricanes, who are the Hartford Whalers, really. They stole the Whalers from my hometown.
Well, you know,
not that I have a history with them, but they did.
But Carolina.
They went to Carolina.
Mike, both of the Carolinas.
That bastion of hockey in the United States.
North Carolina. And South Carolina have a whole, you know, mindset built on hockey. That's really what those states are about.
Yeah, why don't you do a deep dive on best attendance in the NHL and look up the Carolina Hurricanes. Look up best attendance in the NHL. Rank the attendance, the top attendance. If somebody could do that, I'd really...
I can look it right now.
If they have that...
are you saying they don't have great attendance? I thought they did.
I'm not sure. I might have heard something about it, but I'm not sure. I want to find out. I want to know who's got the best attendance in the NHL. And the Capitals would be way up there.
Yeah, I would think so, especially this year.
Well, with the championship. But my daughter, the thing that broke my heart, the reason I'm talking about it right now, is that my lovely daughter Elizabeth was there with her boyfriend and watching the game last night and texting back and forth to me, complete with "Dad, wish you were here," which brought actually a tear to my eye.
Aww.
And then it was hearts, and then she sent a bunch of hearts, and then you know, she's cool too. I mean, she's not as angry as her father, and I was not angry, except I did feel a desire to put up the Barry Trotz thing. And, Oscar Santana has the results.
From ESPN.com, the NHL attendance report for 2018-2019.
Okay.
And I'll go 10-1.
10-1.
At number 10, we've got Calgary. At number 9, you have Washington, D.C.
There it is. Top 10. All right.
Number 8, Pittsburgh. At number 7, Minnesota. At number 6, Tampa Bay.
Wow. How about Tampa?
Wow.
Yes. At number 5, Detroit. At number 4, Toronto. At number 3, Philadelphia. Number 2, Montreal. Number 1, Chicago.
Chicago. All right.
Is this overall numbers or percentage of sellouts?
This they give you the average attendance.
Average attendance. So overall numbers.
Average attendance. What I was looking for. Yeah. That's okay. Thank you, Oscar. That's interesting.
Well done.
So another season is not the great run we had last year. It was incredible. It's hard to do. 7-game series are very, very hard fought and very difficult to do. And so to the team themselves. Yes, Oscar Santana.
I want to give you a follow up. Carolina is number 28 out of 31. You had it.
Mm.
There you go. 28 out of 31. Okay. But now they're winning. So we've got a diversion. We're going to go over and see we're going to go to downtown Raleigh and go see our team.
I suppose the time has come that we should pay for parking. You know, now that we're number 28 out of 31, we try harder.
I knew I heard that. I mean, seriously.
You want to head over to the arena? It's grit night. Everybody gets grit.
Their attendance during the regular season.
Are you going to the exhibition game tonight?
Sporting exposition?
Shocking.
Well, yeah.
That the New York Islanders are 31.
Wow. And they used to be an absolute powerhouse. Oh, they you know what? They haven't had winners for years and years and years. So this is the first year. And who would their coach be? Oh, that's right. It's Barry Trotz in the second round. Anyway, what a name, too. I mean, doesn't that sound like some sort of, scatological cartoon character or something?
Oh, that's what happens, Mike, if you eat too many raspberries.
You get the Barry Trotz. Salute, and I really thought I felt bad for the captain Alex Ovechkin after the game, who was asked by some brilliant sports reporter what words would be appropriate to describe what he's feeling right now. Okay, you know, you're asking that man; it's his second language. He's a Russian person, and perhaps he doesn't have the depth of vocabulary. So it was just like.
He should have handed him a hunk of clay and said, "Can you make a sculpture that shows how you feel?" Because you would have gotten an equally effective reply.
You think Ovi at that point has strict orders for his, team that works with them to have the private jet at a national airport, Reagan National Airport,
getting ready to go back to Mother Russia
as soon as they lose,
going back to have dinner with Putin.
Yeah, not even Putin, but. As soon as they lose, it's time to go home for the off season, and the jet like that, it's ready to go when he drives over.
They're revving it.
By the way, if you happen to be on the New England Sports Network, and there's any coverage whatsoever, there is an on ice reporter that you might want to take a gander at. Her name happens to be Alex Kramer. That's K-R. A-E-M-E-R. She came from the Philadelphia Flyers games, and she is now the on-ice reporter for the Boston Bruins. And just thought I'd mention that she's doing fantastic work. Really, really a very, very talented journalist.
I could see where she'd be good at sports.
She's very talented. Very, very talented. Her name is Alex Kramer. So
apparently she covers baseball, too, because here's a picture of her with a baseball bat.
Well, I don't know if she has anything to do with the Red Sox, but that's it. That's it. Sports talk over. But Alex Kramer.
Strong closer there, Mike.
Yes, thank you. Keep doing the good work you're doing. Yes, sorry. Because, sexist pig? That's me. Thank you very much. All
right. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
My wife will tell me that I don't like the way she talks. And it's not her voice. I like the sound of her voice. It's the information that she chooses to tell me at times. We took a trip to Florida, to Fort Lauderdale, and her and our daughter are flying from Nashville, where we live, and I'm flying from Detroit. We're meeting at Fort Lauderdale's airport. I have to find them when they land. So I called her, because I was about to take off, and I was like, all right, what time do you guys leave? She goes, noon, and it was 11:30, and they're still at home. I was like, Laura, I don't know if you even know what an airport is. But if that plane was in our driveway, I don't think you could make it. And she said, that's what time you leave for the airport. Our flight's not till 1:30. And I was like, all right. So what do you think I wanted to know when I asked that? Is that what you thought the best time you could give me was a time that means nothing to nobody? What time did you go to bed last night? Just tell me that, and I'll just look up all the planes that land in Florida, and I'll guess which one I think you're on. She said, I'm sorry I don't talk the way you want me to talk. I'm like, I want you to talk like a regular person, all right? Like you've been around people before, you know? We didn't talk in Florida, I'll tell you that.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Who is that guy? That's a slice of brilliant. That's a brilliant bit that he wrote down.
There. We've used him before. I like him. Nate Bargatze. Bargatze. Nate Bargatze.
That's pretty damn funny. Good Welcome stuff. To the Mike O'Mara Show, live from the Podcast Village Studios, where all the monitors were humming with the Washington Capitals losing effort last night.
Yes.
We're delighted to have you with us. If you're new, sit back, relax, enjoy it. If you've found us after a long time, hello, Fred. Hello, Fred. Welcome from the desert. Come to our bosom. From Bucksport, Tennessee to Spring Hill, Florida, from the Outer Banks of North Carolina to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where they used to have a steel mill up there, right?
Yes,
Bethlehem
very true.
Steel.
Mm-hmm.
From Marilla, New York, Teldar paper, Bethlehem Steel. Marilla, New York to Painesville, Ohio, the Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by our TMOS Shopping Center. Oscar, it's a parable as old as time.
Ooh.
Give a man a fish, and he eats for a day. Teach a man to fish, and he eats for a lifetime. Get a man to play fish, and he's probably Abe Vigoda.
My wife, Bernice.
But if you teach a man to shop at the TMOS Shopping Center, he'll never hunger for value and or convenience again.
Ooh.
Tell the man to go to our website and click the banner. And he'll be at Macy's.com, Walmart.com, and Target.com faster than you can say, my wife, Bernice. I jumped the gun on it.
That's all right. We think alike.
No matter what that man needs or what he needs it. No, let me start again.
Okay.
No matter what that man needs or why he needs it, he'll find it all at the TMOS Shopping Center. Just go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the banner. Remember, it costs you nothing, but it means the world to us. We really appreciate you supporting Macy's, Target, and Walmart through the Mike O'Mara Show. And remember, Oscar, I pitied the man who had no shoes until I met the man with no feet. But at least the second guy didn't need shoes, so there's that, you know.
Where did that come from?
Rob's brain. The TMOS Shopping Center. It's perfect whether you have feet or not.
Right. Everybody shop.
That
some people were watching the hockey game. Some people were watching a little brown bottle get lighter and lighter.
And made little chalk That's marks, it. And you could see the level go down and down
there
and
tis.
Down.
There
you had no feet at all.
Would you like to see my new luxury watch?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I know you love timepieces.
I don't like to show off ostentatious displays of wealth.
No. Watches, you know.
On the show,
a treat.
It's not cool.
Well, a watch is really not jewelry as much as it is it's a helpful thing. You need
it. Treat
it's a tool.
Time.
It is a treat.
Has anyone ever purchased or owned a Casio?
Ooh. Casio has stepped
Let me
up
tell
its
you,
game.
When Seiko just won't do.
Mm. I have been looking for a night watch. Night watchman. Ooh. No, a watch so
like to
I
wear
could,
with a suit of armor?
There are not any fluorescent dials that allow me to really look at my watch in the middle of the night, and that's how I like to check my time. But this one, look at that. It's got a light.
For those
that's
of you at home
nice.
That are not watching the video presentation, if you remember the old school Casio calculator watches, Mike has something similar, but it is stainless steel.
Well, yeah, and it's also not digital. It's analog.
Yeah. No, that would be digital at this point.
Well, Mike, put it up again. Does it not have hands?
It's analog.
That's analog.
Well, it would have a battery, I guess. It's
well, analog doesn't mean not battery.
Powered, yes.
Digital means a digital
Unless
display.
Unless it's powered by the sun.
Michael?
I don't know.
Little Michael?
His son.
It's called a Casio Illuminator,
Ooh.
But it's hard to read.
Hey, man.
It's hard to read.
It's the Illuminator. Yeah.
And today I will take a link out because I have little piano player wrists.
Mm.
And
will you be able to take the link out yourself or you have to go to a jeweler for that?
I'm going to be taking the link out myself.
That's tricky stuff.
I, Well, I have a kit. I have a kit that I bought years ago.
How did you choose that timepiece?
I'm tired of not being able to see what time it is in the middle of the night. Mm. And so I was at the Walmart where I waited 40 minutes for someone to come to the fine jewelry counter.
Well, that's odd because that's really what brings the people in.
Yeah, they don't care about that at all. And
did an old German man with a jeweler's loop approach you with a thing in his eye? Hello, what are you looking for today?
1, 2, 3, 4 people I asked to get something until the manager came up with a key and handed it to the lady and just turned around. And I said, thank you. And the manager did not look back.
Of course not.
So anyway, it's quality stuff. So anybody ever have a Casio? Anybody
I
ever
had
have
one? I had multiple, I think.
I had the calculator watch, as Oscar mentioned.
Right?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But come in handy at the food stand?
No. The food stand, you do stuff in your head. There's no time. Gotcha. No time for that.
It's a beautiful
timepiece. Two pairs and a piece of corn.
Yeah, I mean,
an ear of corn.
Oh, sorry.
A piece of corn.
A piece of corn. A piece of corn would be a kernel.
Yeah, a kernel.
Well, you would really make money if you broke it up that way.
By the way, speaking of the kernel, when did the whole chicken and waffles thing? Why when we see suddenly we see chicken and waffles with KFC and then we see chicken and waffles with Dairy Queen or chicken and waffle? Is there a research company that tests things and all of a sudden all these people receive the same data? Big food, big fast food receives the same data at the same time.
I think
that
they
shows
I think
waffles
it's a nation
and chicken
of
test well.
I think it's a nation of followers, and I think what you've got, especially with Dairy Queen, they're a follower.
Mm.
If they see another food
who
industry,
are they owned by? Let's see.
Maybe they're not owned by Yum. Pepsi.
They're owned by Alex Kramer.
That I'm all in.
Oscar, did you see Alex Kramer?
Oh,
did you see a picture of Alex
smoke
Kramer?
Show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, where do you weigh in on chicken and waffles?
I've never had it.
Me
and
neither.
Fried chicken, unfortunately, for me, for my delicate constitution, fried chicken is something that the last time I had it was one of the third tier fried chicken chains when we were on the road.
Churches?
Going up to see my, it might have been Churches.
Yeah.
It might have been Churches, and it was off the road, and I got a horrible bout of gut pain, and I ended up going to the hospital. That's how bad it was.
I love fried chicken. I love waffles. I see them working well together flavor-wise, but it seems to me horribly inconvenient because chicken is by nature a finger food, and waffles, you got to use a knife and fork. So what do you do? How do you make it work?
You're such a fat guy.
Yeah, the fattest you know. It doesn't happen by accident.
Well, have you had chicken, fried chicken and waffles?
I never have.
You've never touched it?
No.
Okay. Have you ever had it, Oscar?
Oh, yes. I've probably had it, I would say, 4 or 5 times in my life.
But I can also see the maple syrup flavored profile working well with fried chicken.
It is great, but it is a meal that you have to sit down for.
Well, on Rob's point, are you supposed to eat it with a knife and fork?
Yes.
All right.
At every point, whether I've had it at a restaurant or I've had it a fast food version.
Was it bone in fried chicken or like chicken tenders on waffles?
I've had both.
Which did you prefer? As if I didn't know.
Chicken tenders.
He didn't want to say chicken tenders.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Chicken tenders, which is his favorite.
It's traditionally, the majority of the time, it is like a chicken breast that's fried.
Okay.
And then you've got the waffles.
But is it bone in?
The majority of the time I've had it, it's not bone in.
You see, then I can almost see it working, but I also know that for fried chicken to taste right, it's got to be bone in.
Why? Right. Why does it have to be bone in?
Because it is less processed. It's going to be truer to the actual chicken.
No, any chicken is better bone in.
Yes.
Any chicken at all. Of course, it's better bone in. It's better than those completely sanitized pieces of rubber that you dip in batter and fry.
Yep.
It's always better than that. I know.
Individually frozen 4 minutes from freezer to plate. Costco chicken breasts.
It's not, a real like chicken breast or a real chicken thigh with the bone on is tremendously better than you understand that. You're looking like you're confused.
I feel like to get to that final end product, there's a lot of waste. If you look at a chicken overall,
not the way I eat it.
If you buy the fillets or the cuts that are there ready to go,
like the breasts or the tenders or the boneless thighs.
I'm talking about breaded breasts. I used to do this in college. You'd buy breaded breasts that are good to go, ready, that are fresh, and then you throw them on the grill or you throw them on in the oven. For what?
Did you sell a lot of the breaded breasts at the Safeway? Did you have those?
Well, I worked in a Safeway that was that. mostly serviced a college area. So there wasn't a lot of meat being moved. So I don't recall. And it was also...
What, was it mostly prepared foods?
No. I mean, we sold beer and chips.
Mostly beer and chips.
Yeah, and soda, because we were right. We were on campus. It's not even a Safeway anymore. And keep in mind also, this was 30 years ago. Prepared foods wasn't as big of a deal as it is now.
I see
so
my
you
mom,
used to get like the breaded chicken and stuff like that?
Yes, again, I guess it depends on your household. When my roommates would never eat anything because they were like little twig birds. They'd just come out and eat once in a while.
Like they were twig birds.
Yeah, they would not eat anything.
Little twig birds.
Yeah, they were skinny and they probably were starved themselves, but they looked hot.
Little twig bird.
I stopped even buying enough food for all of us because they would never eat. And so I would just buy
They wouldn't even like cereal or stuff like that?
Who knows? They're eating tuna half the time.
If you know what I mean.
Well, let me tell you what my point is. I think it's a racket. I think it's a gimmick.
Yeah.
And I know that there are some...
You would love the flavor profile. You would love
Well, no, I mean, I have no problem with that. You know what? I would love the flavor profile if I was in a location where you had a restaurant that had been serving it for years that was doing it. But this fast food hijacking, I think is gimmicky.
The bone-in is the proper way.
Yeah. Well, bone-in is the proper way to have chicken in all forms, in my humble opinion. But this whole chicken and waffles thing, I get a feeling of forced, trendy, flavor of the month.
You know what? It is not unlike the way now McDonald's, we've mentioned this earlier this week, is forcing bacon on us.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's, you know what?
It's kind of the same deal. Bacon. Big chicken is trying to sell more chicken.
Last year, Lay's had a chicken and waffles potato chip. That's how prevalent this is now.
Okay. It's becoming, which has the sweet. It's very American. It's got everything.
Yep.
It's got everything that they want. It's got the sweet and the salty and all that. I have never tried chicken and waffles. I would be willing to try or have a taste test with chicken and waffles. But if you say when you've had it, you've liked it. You've liked the syrupy, sweet with
but
the
salty. But you have to be hungry. Yeah. You have to be. It's a big meal.
And it seems to be much more popular than the other thing that they're pressing around here, which is beef stew and pancakes. Not as good as that.
It's just such a mess.
Sloppy. So sloppy.
It's really, really terrible. It's really, really. And you know what? Listen, I don't know who's jumping on the fish sticks and French toast bandwagon, but the fish sticks and French toast.
They got to stop.
This is nonsense.
They're out of control.
It originated in Iceland. I think that's where it came from. Fish sticks and French toast. Have we run out of sweet breakfast foods?
I think so.
Right. The Lucky Charms in chili is not going to go down that well.
Well, wait, as a crust, that could be something. To your chili?
You know, we're making jokes here, but if we actually spitballed something real, you could probably do that. If you really combine
cornflake crust?
French toast, what would you put it with? A French dip sandwich? No, you can't do it.
No, you can't. It would be some sort of sausagey something. Sage plays well with that.
Sage.
What sausagey and what?
And French toast. Something like if it was something that was like a sausage based something.
Oh, like pigs in a blanket. My mom used to make little pancakes, little crepes, and wrap breakfast sausages in them and put a little toothpick and have a hot maple. That was her big go to. I guarantee you, if you had a mom in the 60s, that was like the Betty Homemaker thing that they did. And it was little pigs in a blanket, but this was sausages wrapped in a crepe that you dipped in maple syrup.
So it was like a breakfast thing?
Great.
What?
Was it a breakfast thing or like for a cocktail party?
They were big on brunches.
Okay, yeah.
That's when brunch came into the deal. But the whole thing, I don't trust anybody about big fast food or any of that, and I'm suspicious of the chicken and waffles.
Why are you suspicious?
Maybe I was in a bet. Maybe. Why are you suspicious? Spring break. Maybe it's because I was in a bad mood watching the hockey game.
Could be.
But it was like every single 2 minutes I'm watching the volume level that Carl wants me to keep at a certain dull roar. And then you get, and they do the dance with Mrs. Butterworth.
Time of my life.
By the way, which is not syrup of any, not maple syrup of any kind.
What?
No.
It is high fructose corn syrup. What, do you have that do you have that at your home? Mrs. Butterworth?
No, we grew up with Aunt Jemima.
Aunt Jemima. Yes. We had log cabin. Yes.
And
we had artificial syrup.
La Señorita.
The lady?
She would say, can you go get La Señorita? I'd have to run into the pantry and grab the little lady.
Because you're a syrup purist now, but you did grow up with the fake stuff?
I grew up with the fake stuff. Yeah.
Even in Maine? Even up there?
Even in Maine. I remember maple syrup came in, the first maple syrup I ever had, I think, was brought to us as a gift, and it was a can. It was a can of it, and I remember tasting it.
Sure wasn't motor oil?
No, it was actually maple syrup from Vermont, wow. And I remember opening it up and tasting it and going, this tastes weird.
Yeah.
You know, this doesn't taste like Does real it taste fake weird? Sugar.
It, you know what? It's okay. I still like the cheap stuff. I grew up on the cheap stuff, and that's what I keep in the house now. Even cheaper than Log Cabin, like Piedmont, whatever the cheap brand is.
But also check the calories on maple, regular pure maple syrup.
I can only imagine.
It's astonishing. It's truly, truly astonishing. So we've covered that. We've covered the caps, and now we're going to break for commercial.
Excellent. I think this is a good idea.
It's towards the end of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Bear with us. Thank you. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun on the Mike O'Meara Show, everybody.
New York City weather.
Hello. This is Scott Shannon. When I finish broadcasting my morning show, I like to go back to my office, sit back, and relax with one of my favorite guilty pleasures, the Mike O'Meara Bonus Show. It's
Got quality standards.
That was quick.
Got quality standards.
Sorry, buddy. Yeah.
Sorry.
Who do we say sorry to?
How'd that get through? Sorry, Who are you saying sorry? Are you saying sorry to the person that perpetrated that? Do you have a name?
I have. His name is Chris Pontani. And you know what? The writing was better than the impression.
Did he, has he had submissions played on the air before?
I believe he has, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's
I'm
all right, you know sorry. What? It happens, and maybe it'll rear its head again. You never can tell.
Maybe a fresh listen.
Yeah, I never can tell.
You were enjoying it. You seem to be really enjoying it.
I did, because I thought part of the charm was how bad the voice was.
It was an impression of an impression.
It was.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
If that were to make it to the end of the promo,
yes.
Would there be any pleasant surprises or anything that would be above
payoff.
And beyond?
Yeah, I think there's a couple payoffs
Ooh.
In it.
So you're vouching for it?
I am.
You want to play it again?
Let's run it tomorrow.
No. We got to run. Hold on. Before you make the decision, this is on you.
Okay.
Ooh. This is 100% on you, and it will be your call, and I will listen to it till the end, and then you will be scrutinized.
All right.
So and if you want to do that for Mr. Pontani, we can do that right
listen,
now.
Listen, I'm not doing this for Chris Pontani. I'm doing this for me, and I'm doing it for the listeners.
Because you enjoy it that much.
Because I enjoy it.
Okay.
All right.
Oscar,
run.
What say you?
Man.
Give it a run?
I think his confidence is too subdued. So he's
Rob's confidence in Chris Pontani.
He's playing us. He's playing us like he does in the games. He's holding it close to the vest. So I think it's gonna be a winner. It's gonna be a winner.
All right, go. Let it
run.
Hear.
Turn your
music
up. Hello, this is Scott Shannon. When I finish broadcasting my morning show, I like to go back to my office, sit back, and relax with one of my favorite guilty pleasures, the Mike O'Meara Bonus Show. It's an extra hour of your favorite program, and they use salty language I can't use because of FCC regulations. It's the best way to support TMOS. Hey, that's just like call letters. And when you break down the cost of an annual subscription, each episode averages out to about the price of a piece of candy. So subscribe today and tell them Super Shan sent you. Now somebody play my jingle. C100.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone First Financial. Here's some powerful news from Cornerstone. The economy is softening, and because of that, interest rates, we've been telling you that again and again and again.
Yes.
They are down. They're the lowest they've been in a full year. Chances are there will be no interest rate hikes this year thanks to inflationary pressure that never happened. Rates are back around 4%, and with the spring home markets in full swing, time to act. Whether you're buying, refinancing, or consolidating debt, Cornerstone guarantees you the lowest rate. Work with the friends of TMOS and save some dough. Now licensed in California, along with Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Georgia, Florida, and Colorado. Click their banner on our website. Visit cornerstonefirst.com, or you can call them at 866-625-1221. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. Did anybody keep tabs on our Jeopardy guy last night? Did he continue his miraculous run?
I'm sure he did.
Does anyone know?
I'll give you some info now.
I don't know his total, but
nobody's
watching
except for me, but I didn't watch because the game started at 7:30, so I wasn't able to watch.
Hockey.
It would be all over the news if it broke. I know that, you know what? This was going to be in the vault.
Top stories.
Alex Trebek. Oh, go ahead.
It says, how did James, was it Holzhauer?
Holzhauer.
Turn Jeopardy into his ATM, and I'll give you the number right now. It says, James just won his 15th game. head to da 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 da. I don't know how much money he's put in. I'll find out in 2 seconds. Pat,
all right. Well, I've got it on. I think, yeah, Rob's right. They probably would have broken the story if he hadn't won.
And last night, I saw something. I saw this highlight on the YouTube today. I've never seen Alex breakdown style of play before in the game. And he actually took a few seconds last night and talked about the guy. This is something that I've never seen Alex do.
There has been a certain sameness to all of the games since James became champion. He gets off to a really good lead, and then it's up to the challengers to catch him.
And I think, how does that make you feel if you're one of the challengers?
Terrible, and yeah. I told you that. They're demoralized, and he's got a strategy that is specifically designed to hoodwink his competitors, and that's the way he does it. It's being broken down, and it's being analyzed, and then there was an article that I did not read. I just saw the headline that indicated that he might be bad for Jeopardy. No, he's not bad for Jeopardy.
Ow.
It's the ratings. Because
what did they
like
say?
To throw darts. People like to throw darts at anybody who's successful. Will they perhaps make modifications to the game? I don't know. The game's been around for a long time, and it's had mega winners before, and this guy is the real deal.
People need to know that there is a understanding that game shows are so cheap to produce. They are amazingly cheap to produce. That's why even amid scandal and everything, there's always going to be game shows on television. And this is the first time in 15 years that Jeopardy's been at the top of people's, it's keeping the show relevant.
Yeah, this absolutely.
They couldn't take, and $1 million is nothing to them. They couldn't take $1 million and
weird
buy
about
this
it
kind
me,
of publicity.
What's weird about it for me is that I really got into the habit a very short time before this happened.
Mm-hmm.
I just was, it was the middle of our work schedule where I'm watching and that, we were watching it intensely and it was very, very cool. And so to have this happen, I was all in before and now it's going crazy. Yes,
I've got the stats. Jeopardy's doing something right, especially on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
They have launched their own James Tracker, the game, the official Jeopardy Twitter. Now
very
has
good.
The stats that update after every game.
Oh, that's
he's
cool.
won 15 games. He's won $1,135,175. He has his top single game total is $131,127 as of, this past date.
Right,
so it's pretty amazing. Pretty
very
amazing.
Cool.
Pretty
very
amazing.
Cool, Mr. Holes.
His response accuracy is 97%.
What?
Yeah, and his final Jeopardy
overall?
Answers are
oh
stunning as well.
Oh, my God. Correct final Jeopardy rate, 93%. Total correct daily doubles, 34 out of 37. Runaway games, 14 out of 15. Average one per game, $75,678. Average bet per daily double is $9,584.
I imagine a runaway game would be defined as when you have more than
it's
double
over.
Your
yeah.
opponent.
It's over.
Yeah,
all right, so you have Ken Jennings, who was over $2 million, and this guy that's now just over $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
My question to both of you, and I didn't plan on talking about this today, but when do you think this could be? I'm watching this guy, and I don't see an end in sight. When do you think this could be problematic? When do you think this would
great
be something
question.
Where he has $8 million, no one else has any chance at all? I mean, when do you think you have to implement the curve? Or can you? Or can you do that?
I don't think you can. I don't think you can do anything because the rules are in place.
Unless Alex falls ill.
If
and the show could go into
the game.
Like in a casino, they try to cool you off.
Yeah.
And they switch
Alex
the dealers.
Alex goes out to
they
his
switch,
car,
they
turns
switch
the ignition,
the dealers.
And it blows up.
No. He has a sick leave, so they bring on the guest host.
After a lengthy hiatus.
Yes, and then he's cooled off.
Yep.
I am so...
You don't think he'd perform as well if it was hosted by Larry the Cable Guy?
Well, I just know that at every time I've seen anybody win a single thing
course,
in a casino,
of course.
They switch the dealers every single hand until they stop winning. Mm-hmm.
I am so stunned by his depth of knowledge, and so much so that, we were talking about smelling a rat and all that other stuff that, because he just has that way about him and the fact that he's a gambler. Yes, Oscar?
I have some more. They've done well. Whoever's running this account is fantastic.
Okay. Johnny Gilbert is running
all-time winnings. You want to hear all-time, the highest totals we've had?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I'll give you 3-1. David Madden won $773,733. Ken Jennings won a total of $3,370,700.
Well, I think that includes when he did follow-up
Champion,
shows, too. Yes.
Champions games.
Brad Rutter, he won $4,000. $688,440. All-time wins.
I've never heard that guy. Why is Ken Jennings the guy that gets all the pubs?
Well, because he's won the consecutive games won for those.
Okay.
So to give you a little more context, James, I can't even say his last name.
Holzhauer.
Holzhauer. I'm an idiot. Holzhauer. He's won 15 games. David Madden, who I mentioned earlier, won 19 games in 2005. Julie Collins, 20 games in 2014. Ken Jennings, 74 games in 2004.
How about that guy, Rutter? How many games did he win in what year?
Rutter, he's actually not in the consecutive game total.
I don't remember that name.
I don't either.
$4 million would be... That's just weird.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was Ken Jennings.
Me too.
If we give you, let's say, so they go by season. So they've had championship weeks, right? So I guess Rutter came back for that.
Uh-huh.
But James, his top three games, let's just give you his top one I mentioned earlier, 131,000. His second is 118, and 110 is his third. And he's done this in the last, 14 days?
Yeah.
It's truly something to watch this guy go. And, you know,
surreal.
It's funny.
Surreal.
I mean, when will the bat, would there be, if you've got $4 million, we've got many, many games to come before you start saying to yourself, oh, enough. He's not Superman. He's potentially knock-offable.
The only way they could do it is have analysts figure out what are his weaker categories. And
disable his buzzer.
And also a small delay in his buzzer.
Or just disable it. And you see, what if you did that? You just it's not working at all. I don't understand.
What, coming back from break, he unscrews it. There's no battery in it. He says, this is wrong, sir. This is wrong.
Further context, Holzhauer he's got 8 of the top 10 daily winnings. Ken Jennings only has 70. He's only on this once, 75,000 in 2004, and then Roger Craig, he brought home 77,000 in 2010 for one game. The rest are all Holzhauer.
Okay. Yeah, as of this week, Holzhauer was averaging on a daily basis twice what the average winning is.
This is crazy, Mike. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for putting us on to this. This is nuts.
We'll see what happens with this guy as he keeps going. One last word before we go to break about the Capitals last night. Last night before, at least down here where I live, and it depends on your market, but most of them run Wheel of Fortune and then Jeopardy. Yeah. A lot of people do that. So I was watching Wheel of Fortune, and we had a couple win from Punta Gordo.
Ooh, up the street. Right up the street.
They were up the road a bit, and they were from Punta Gorda. And I have to mention that if you want to know the black pill for the Washington Capitals last night, we had Jimmy Cerrito who said, good luck. That was early on. We'll have 24 televisions all with the game on. Good luck, Capitals. Yes, sorry. And then it went away. But
how'd your daughter take the loss?
She was cool. Let me see if I got the... I'm going to give the text. It was very, very lovely.
Sweet.
And let me see.
Wonder how her bow fell about all.
She took
sad.
She did things last night that were so cool. God, we had so many texts between each other. She first text comes at 7:03. She shows me a picture of the arena.
Oh, that's cool.
Where she is.
Yeah, sweet text.
And I said, so cool. Have fun. I'll be watching. Look for us, LOL. I haven't been to a game in so long. I said, I will. LOL, the Caps broadcast is on 106.7. She like tracks with stuff. All of a sudden it just
gets her.
I said, my former home, she writes, LOL, fond memories. I said, then at 10:06, I write to her, pleasant memories. Wow, you picked a good one, I said to her. I said, I know, I'm so stressed. I said, great hockey. Wish I was there. She said, I wish you were here too, Dad.
Aww.
And then I gave her a little heart.
Sweet.
There's my little heart
that.
Yeah. And then she says, there's a picture of Rod Langway's retired jersey that's hanging up at the top of the Capital One Arena. And she writes, hey, it's your pal.
Nice.
Rod, good guy.
Yeah.
So tense. All Carolina so far in the overtime. She says, I know, zero control right now. She knows her hockey.
Yeah.
She watches hockey. I said, and then they lose. I said, sorry, sweetie. Love you. I said, it's okay. Still an amazing game to see. She's got a much better attitude than her father does. You know? Barry Trotz sucked. And Ted Leota sucked. Me that. And I write to her, amazing. Third longest game, 7 in cup history. And you were there, and that was it in the wee hours.
That's nice of you.
So Elizabeth had a perfect time at the game, and you know, she handled it like a champ. I did it! We'll take a break and come back with a little story for Oscar right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Rob and Joe here. Joe, big year for you. You are getting married.
That's right. Love of my life.
You need some advice?
I may, but from you?
Look, hear me out. All you got to do is never stop dating her. Love her. Give her attention. Never take her for granted. And remember, she's the best thing in your life, and always work hard for her.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of work. I'm not doing all that.
Yeah, you're right. Just fake your death. Start a new life. Rob and Joe Show. A new episode every single week. RobandJoeShow.com.
For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
Hey, Rob.
Mike.
My clock's not working.
Okay. How about
what
your new watch?
What are we on the show right now? What are we?
We're at 49 minutes. So we should do about 10 here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
8 or 10 here would be perfect.
Blue Sorry by. About that. Hey, look, it's Mac.
You know what's great? Mac just walked in, and he didn't know we had an early start today, but even if we started on time, he'd still be late.
Very good. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Function of Beauty. We don't all have the same hair, so why should we all use the same hair products? You can you answer that? Can you do that?
Did I teach you that here?
Teach you that here. Brad.
Brad.
Function of Beauty brings you shampoos and conditioners that are customized and individually filled just for you. The products are so personalized, your name is even printed on the bottle, which my lovely bride considers the coolest thing. It's like, don't touch that.
It's pretty cool. You got to admit, you love it.
Function of Beauty has safe natural ingredients and is 100% vegan and cruelty-free and costs 40% less per ounce than leading salon brands. Function of Beauty is the internet's top-rated customized shampoo with over 10,000 five-star customer reviews and counting.
Yes. Mm.
I just know that Carla's hair has never been softer or smelled better as I run my fingers through it. Now that she's using Function of Beauty, it's better than ever. Wow!
They teach you that here, Brad.
And here's your chance. Our listeners will receive 20% off their first custom formula. Just go to functionofbeauty.com/TMOS and take the quick 2-minute hair profile quiz to design your 100% unique shampoo and conditioner formulas. That's functionofbeauty.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. functionofbeauty.com/TMOS. So, hi, Mac. How are you?
Hold on.
Speak up, boy.
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's the gating. Sorry.
Yeah, right,
yeah I'm doing okay.
Yeah. Right.
Soft little anyway.
Bird looks
voice.
Like you fell out of a tree today. What happened?
I took a shower today.
All right.
Why should you say that with such marvel and excitement in your voice?
Like it's a big deal.
It's like he won the lottery.
It's not Saturday. Anyway, Oscar Santana,
yes.
A listener made me aware of this for you. Just look, I share this with you for no particular reason.
No, I'm sure it's fine.
An Arkansas nurse and Sunday school teacher was sentenced to 16 years in prison Tuesday for murdering her husband after discovering he had paid for porn.
Oh, God.
Patricia Hill, a nurse of 50 years, shot and killed her husband, Frank Hill, who was 65, in a shed outside of their Pine Bluff home, last July, after the two argued about his porn use. Hill's attorney, William O. James Jr., oh, hello there. Told NBC News that the couple had been married for 17 years and she kept finding pornography stashed and hidden. James says Frank Hill would often watch pornography in the shed, which he described as his man cave.
Yeah, I bet.
That's the worst guy. Who's the guy that came up with that? That stand-up routine, right? The caveman.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
the
and caveman. Man cave. Yeah.
It's not any
man
better than cave. The she shed.
God, I hate man cave. I've hated that ever since the term came
out. Well, I like the notion of a shed. That's my porn shed.
My porn shed. Patricia Hill, a religious woman who taught Sunday school, felt like the devil was in that shed.
The devil's in that shed! Get out of that shed! Devil's in that shed!
She's 69. Hey, 69.
Hey, that's clever.
She filed for divorce in May of 2018, but she withdrew the papers after he begged her to reconsider. 2 months later, after Hill discovered that her husband had purchased a pornography channel on their TV, she confronted him. James said Hill did not mean to kill her husband. She first shot him in the leg and then and then fired a warning shot that hit him in the head.
Oh, ricochet.
Bad warning
shot. I was going to say, aren't the warning shots supposed to come before you shoot someone in the leg?
Just a little strange. Yeah, just a little bit strange. Just wanted to share that.
A picture here. Also, I guess.
That's a good-looking couple.
The wife.
Aren't they lovely?
Looks like a murderer. And the husband looks like he does, you know what, in a shed.
You know what? But then they look. Don't you find it odd when couples look so much alike? Because that's a Valerie Bertinelli, Eddie Van Halen thing going on there.
Of the herd.
Yeah.
Just curious. You know, yeah. I mean,
you have a shed?
No,
I didn't think so.
In this modern day and age, if you're going physical, if you got magazines, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah.
And Google.
You're a digital guy. I know.
I'm a digital guy. And Google and or Safari, if you're an Apple person.
Sure.
They allow you to search privately. Like, so you do not have a history.
Yeah, but you still have to be aware that you share a domicile with another individual.
And also, he subscribed. Yeah. He subscribed and left, you'll pardon the version, a paper trail. So he...
Oh,
well,
no.
Well, he subscribed,
no,
too.
No. This
Oscar subscribed.
Yeah, but I'm talking about this guy. This is when he found out.
Oh, he had magazines,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, he's got a problem.
He's 150 years old. He's probably got Super 8s in there somewhere. You know,
and they put the Super in Super 8s.
And if you buy it on your cable bill, like... They don't hide that the way they hide it on the internet. The internet, you'll get, it looks like an office moving supply store. That's what it says. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I got that office moving supply store.
It's a little tip for you youngsters
for your
20-somethings that might want to do that. They'll make it look like an office surprise store.
Yeah, when you're paying the bills out in the shed,
I didn't recognize the charge one time, so I called the company and even when they answer like that company. And it was
Richard, have you been to an auto supply store? It looks like you bought a bunch of jacks.
So the answer like Kramerica, and you're like, sir, I've got a charge here for $39.99. It looks like it's been recurring for about a year. He goes, sir, this is a service it looks like you've engaged in since 2010. So then you start, but the guy isn't telling you, hey, off. This is this is what you subscribe to, no pun intended. He's telling you kindly.
I don't know how to bleep that, Pony. I'm thinking right now.
He's telling you kindly, hey, man.
Right.
You might have forgot the perverted side of you.
Yeah.
But this is not Kramerica, the auto supply store. We're doing something else here.
I'm sure we have asked you this question before, but if you were to add up your yearly contribution.
Yes.
And you've talked about how you bundle.
I had to bundle.
You bundled very successfully.
Cyber Monday, not something I'm really proud of, but
how much do you drop a year? Well, that's not the right word I wanted.
No, no,
no. How much do you spend a year on that content?
Well,
roughly, give us a ballpark.
The bundle would have been $330 a year total.
It's about a little less than 20 a month.
Remember, you probably don't know this.
30 a month.
I called to quit the site. I don't know if we talked about this here on there. If I did, I apologize. And if you think it's hard to quit cable, it is hard to quit these sites.
So, like when you click through to make a commitment, there's fine print that they get their hooks into
They ask you to call. And on the other end of that call is somebody that they hired from a bazaar in Calcutta saying, sir,
there's no way you can sever this relationship. We will send one of our people out to your house to speak to
even
your
better.
Bride.
That's not what I pictured. I pictured, hi, this is Lester Bang. I understand you were speaking to my brother.
No, and if I'm going to compliment a business, they came down to where, like, how about this? After about 30 minutes, the guy was pleasant enough. I was like, look, man, I don't need this in my life right now. Everything's free on the internet. Why would I ever pay for it? Finally got around to that. This is almost a year ago now. He said, how about this? We'll charge you 10% of the price for the rest of the year in one lump sum. I said, that's my monthly fee, roughly, for 1 month. He goes, so at the end, when I kept saying no, 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 they gave me my last year, which I think is going to run out soon. It'll be a sad day.
Well,
my last year for, I think, roughly $40.
But then is it going to recur at the regular price again?
No,
or are you
it's
done?
Over. It is over.
They just wanted $40 more.
They just wanted.
Can I ask this question? Because, all right. Yeah. One last question about this. So you, and how much time do we have, Rob? Do we have a minute?
Yeah, we have a minute. Sure. Yeah.
All right. So one last question regardless. Okay. You're right about this fact that they offer all this stuff. You can get these little clips constantly for free everywhere, like 50 different places. You can get these places for free outside of, you know, the computer viruses.
The malware situation has gotten worse. Yes.
And being kicked to, you know, somebody in Amsterdam that's, you know, lying on a heart-shaped couch. You know, it's not, you can do that. My question is, what separates the experience? What paying for it? What was the reason in the first place? Variety?
Well, no. From day one, and remember, Mike, when this became prevalent, it was a upload and download situation. Like you couldn't just go and get 4K.
And click on something. 4K.
Right. And I also was an early adapter to technology, so I had an HD panel. And you could only get HD at that point in my world.
So if it started for you just to see better clarity.
Sheer pixels. I wanted to see how it was shot.
Man, she's got some great pixels, ladies and gentlemen. How about that? Well, you know, just make sure that Mrs. Zaballos, isn't hiding out with a shotgun. It's not, I've had it. Be aware of that.
Shed time.
And based on the guy with his shed, you got plenty of years to worry about that.
Sure.
We'll take a break and come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This week on The Real Interns of Podcast Village.
Donnie here. Office spring cleaning has come to Podcast Village, and somebody threw out the giant lava lamp. Am I surprised? No. Am I disappointed?
Surprised.
Yeah. Am I without the proper mood lighting to succeed at my job? Yes. Everything is stalled because of this. I mean, I'm the glue of Podcast Village, and I can't even get my work done. We need a load of Elmers. Stat.
Follow the interns at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Isn't it time to digitize your lifetime of memories?
Yes!
You can do it, and all you need is Legacy Box. You just send in your Legacy Box filled with old movies, home movies, pictures. They'll do the rest. They digitize your moments onto a thumb drive, the cloud, or DVDs. It's like magic. They know what they're doing.
Yes.
You can trust your wonderful family photos and movies to them. You get your originals and new digital files back in a few weeks, and they keep you updated at every step of the process because they know and understand that this is their business, and they want to take care of your treasured memories. We all use Legacy Box, and the results were amazing. Finally, you can get all your memories organized and ensure that your family history is preserved forever. Legacy Box is the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos. Over 450,000 families have trusted Legacy Box, and they have over a decade of experience, and all the work is done by hand right here in the USA. When my mom turned 80, long, 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 long time ago, 17, 18 years ago, I actually did a video that I recorded up at my place up in Maine. And it's like a family history. It's a history of my father and losing my dad and what she went through in World War II. Mm. And I really look forward to playing the digital file for my son when he gets to be the right age to watch that. It really is a family history, and Legacy Box helped me with that. Never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. Visit LegacyBox.com today to get started. For a limited time, our listeners can get a huge exclusive discount. Go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS to get 40% off your first order. That's LegacyBox.com/TMOS and save 40%. Take advantage of this. Do it today. Get started preserving your past, and thank you to from all of us to Legacy Box. We truly, truly appreciate it.
News!
News! News! The season finale of The Simpsons has Marge opening a new age store. This is funny. Called Murmur. I just can't believe The Simpsons are still getting it done to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a franchise.
There's always, you know what? I still watch every Sunday, and there's always at least three big laughs. They still do it.
So she opens a store called Murmur that sells goop-like products. her competitor is a woman named Piper. Isn't it perfect?
That is perfect.
Just that stuff, you know? I was watching the biopic, the fiction with Will Forte playing Doug Kenny, I think, the guy, the National Lampoon.
Oh, yeah, the National Lampoon movie.
And, you know, just these brilliant minds that come up with this stuff.
You know, they say that The Simpsons was the first show that benefited from pausing because they have so many subtle jokes that are in the background. Still, some of the funniest jokes in The Simpsons to me are names of stores. Because when they go to the mall or something, if you pause it and read all the names, there's always a laugh in there.
Hysterical.
Yeah.
So the competitor is a woman named Piper who owns a store called Plop. One of the show's producers says, quote, Gwyneth Paltrow will not like this episode.
Oh, dear.
That's just funny. Okay, the Boston Celtics and Boston Bruins both won their first round playoff series this week. And now the city's fans are talking about a potential Boston Slam or four championships in the 2018-2019 sports season. They've already won a World Series and the Super Bowl. You hear that sound? That's the sound of me drifting further and further away from the New England sports fans.
I don't know, Mike.
I'm sorry.
I think a Boston Slam would be great for the city.
You know, my 16th parade.
Look at that.
It's just, it's not.
If we lived there, we would love this.
Maybe we would. It's just
we would love it.
We're going to let Piper stay home from school to go to the parade.
It's
the
just
Boston Slam.
I don't know why it's distasteful for me. Maybe because I moved from the area and I'm still a Red Sox fan.
You still, you know, as much as you love the victories, you love the struggle. You love the struggle.
I love the struggle. And you've got a generation of these kids that have never known adversity.
Mm.
They expect to win. It breeds the worst qualities in a human being. It does. You have to have that. The struggle brings the tears and the joy. The struggle is the late night call to your mom and you're in tears on the phone because you've suffered for 30 years watching that. That's the struggle. They don't get that. They go, hey, Boston Slam.
Hey, Scott, are you and Todd going to the Boston Slam parade? They close the schools.
Yeah.
We're going.
I don't know. I don't know. It just bugs me. That's me. You know, I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
That's fine.
Speaking of sports, a very rare Babe Ruth jersey is up for auction, and it's expected to go for more than $4.5 million.
Oh, dear, Babe.
Rob, I don't know whether it's been laundered
George
or not.
Herman
sure.
Ruth.
That would set a record for the highest grossing sports memorabilia item of all time, so that there's some rich guy out there can say, I have it.
You know, Babe Ruth actually had the first Boston Slam, but it involved two hookers.
Babe Ruth, who used to have a hangover and eat hookers. Babe Ruth, Boston Slam. He was a Boston Red Sox.
He was.
That.
Yeah.
Babe Ruth was.
He was. We lost him. That's the curse.
Yes. The jersey is game worn. It's a Yankees road jersey, which dates back to the late 1920s, and it has Ruth stitched on the collar. You know, there's so much counterfeiting in that.
It's like,
of course.
Stitch Ruth on to it. only a few authentic Babe Ruth jerseys exist. The most recent one to sell also went for more than $4 million. This jersey will be sold as part of a live auction featuring the personal collection of Babe Ruth. It'll take place at Yankee Stadium on June 15th. Other items include cleats, a 60th home run autograph display piece. What is that? A 60th autograph? Is it a ball?
I imagine it's probably a plaque or something for the 60th anniversary, and everybody signed it.
And a Lou Gehrig signed photograph to Ruth and signed baseballs.
Do they have the Roger Maris applicator tip for that auction?
Use the applicator tip, Raymond. there's a school in Houston that just implemented a dress code, which wouldn't be news except that it's a dress code for parents.
Mm, oh,
man.
No.
Carlotta Outley Brown is the principal at James Madison High School in Houston.
Ah.
Houston. She sent out a letter earlier this month to the parents telling them they need to start dressing more appropriately when they're dropping off or picking up their kids. It includes a ban on hair rollers, pajamas, slippers, visible underwear, jeans with rips in the butt, very low-cut tops, sagging pants, and short shorts. Carlotta says she's implementing the policy, quote, to prepare our children and let them know daily the appropriate attire they are supposed to wear when entering a building, going somewhere, or applying for a job. But some of the parents are unhappy, and so is the Houston Federation of Teachers. A spokesperson says, quote, having body parts exposed is one thing. Turning someone away because their hair's in rollers is a little ridiculous. Some of that stuff seems a little classist. I didn't know that was a thing.
Just quick, could Jack Kent Cook tell me the name of the principal?
All right, here we go. Please welcome a wonderful lady, Carlotta Outley Brown.
Thank you, Squire.
Thank you very much. A new study had people who were depressed listen to different types of music This speaks to me so loudly. They preferred sad songs over happy ones, but it's not because they just wanted to wallow in their own misery. It turns out listening to sad music when you're sad can actually make you happier.
Ooh.
Huh.
Wow.
People in the study had to listen to different songs that were either sad, neutral, or happy, and they tended to prefer slow, sad songs like Adagio for Strings from the movie Platoon. For those of you that don't know, Adagio for Strings. Before we saw the movie, there you go. Yeah. What a night it was. Man, oh man. Why in the name of God did I have to have four Jägermeister shooters?
It's quarter to three.
Then researchers had them listen to the same songs later, and again, the sad songs made them feel the happiest. Not totally clear. That's why sad songs are popular.
Yeah.
Because it makes you feel good.
That's what Billy Ocean weird, said, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you. That's it. I'm done with that. God, Rob. Such a nudge today. Anyway,
today.
And now a little something, something. It's about time someone combined my two favorite things, messing around on the internet and eating carbs. A guy named Micah LaPlante from Chicopee, Massachusetts.
Ooh, there we go.
I think my grandfather was from Chicopee.
Chicopee.
Just built a computer out of lasagna. Well, technically... Thank you, Rob. It's just the computer case. The internal parts are actually, you know, electronics.
Okay.
But the case is all layers of uncooked noodles. His lasagna computer actually worked, although he said it he struggled when he used it to try to play video games. Got to be careful about the computer overheating and cooking the noodles. This guy seems just a bit strange, or as Ponyboy calls him, my hero. There you go. Combining both of Ponyboy's loves, everybody. We're going to take a brief break, but when we come back, we have the audio vault for you right here on the Mike O'Meara Show, and then I get to go see my sleep doctor who
says,
how you breathing? You're not dead yet. We'll be right back on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Boy, Paulie. Technology has come a long way for the Mike O'Meara Show.
Opera music.
You can listen to it on iTunes and Spotify. Watch the boys on YouTube. Hang out with them on Facebook and Instagram. And now, they're also on Alexa. Let's check it out. Hey, Alexa, play the Mike O'Meara Show podcast.
Here's the Mike O'Meara Show from TuneIn. Number 2208. Full course meal. 1 hour, 22 minutes.
Today on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Oh my God, that's friggin' unbelievable. Back to you, Mike.
Thank you, Polly. Hope you enjoyed Beetlejuice. Gave you a like for that one. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. Do you love the taste of TMOS but crave a bit of extra sugar? Perhaps not quite fatty enough for you? You sound like you could use the bonus show. It's everything you love about TMOS, but with added calories. You'll find yourself saying, I can't believe it's not TMOS. More jokes, all uncensored, for just $2 per episode. Yes, you heard it right. Only two extra dollars. Can you believe that? It's not TMOS yet. Did I read that?
That's
the right,
way? Yeah, that's right. It's not TMOS yet.
And it's not. It's the TMOS bonus show. Get access to our bonus content today. All those delicious extra calories that you just can't get with the regular show. I can't believe it's not Rob. I can't believe it's not Oscar. And I can't believe that's not Mike. It's the TMOS bonus show. The show you love with more flavor. It's the salt. Remember, the future of our show depends on it. Just go to MikeO'MearaShow.com, click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping us. Thank you. Try it on waffles, roast beef, or right out of the jar. It's bonus-rific. Thank you very much. Let's open up the audio vault for today. This is Thursday, April 25th, 2019. Rob Spiewak.
Six intern bonus points. Allison wrote that spot.
Wow,
good job, Allison.
Way to go. Good job, Allison.
So remember you called me last night and you said, Rob, find me footage of a Brazilian skydiver. I said,
yes.
I got it. I got
please,
it.
Please.
So here's this guy, and he has a helmet cam, and he's skydiving in Brazil, and it's going well. Until the wind shifts, and he lands in a house, right
in
flat,
a house?
Well, flat against a wall. He goes, collides into a house. I will play you the audio. This video exists on our Facebook page, so if you want to look at the TMOS page, you can see it. What I think is most entertaining is when he hits the house, how the sound of the wind stops. So here he is. Looks good at first.
Oh, yeah, dude.
The dog.
He appears to be
Can
all
you
right.
Play that again.
Yeah, he.
Can you
that's the amazing thing.
Great sound.
At one point, don't you hear it? Oh no!
Yeah, that's when he realizes things are going awry. But the thing is, he appears to be all right.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude.
What were you hearing? You hear the oh, he said woo.
Woo. He got a woo out of it. Yeah,
and he's
the
alive,
thing of, and the thing about a Brazilian skydiver, no hair at all. That's the most amazing thing. Name this tune, Mike.
Dallas, theme to Dallas. Ooh.
Exactly. Do you know there was nice only pull. Two people that appeared on every season of Dallas that ran with it the entire the run?
J.R. Ewing.
One was Larry Hagman, and the other was Ken Kercheval, who played Cliff Barnes. The sort of the opponent, the arch enemy of J.R. Ewing, and he died yesterday at age 83. And The only reason I bring that up is I was wondering if...
Because you love death?
No, if Larry Hagman had a few words to say.
Yeah, Ken Kercheval. He's a good guy, Genie. Wonderful guy. You know, I'm dead too. So just want to let Kenny know. Hey, Kenny. Kenny, I'll be waiting for you up in heaven, Big Daddy. There you go. Come on up and join me. It's naked day up here in heaven. I'm just wearing my 10-gallon hat. J.R. Ewing, who shot me? Yes, sir. So have a good time. You remember me? I was also on I Dream of Genie. Hey, Genie.
Hey, Larry.
Genie. Yeah, Robbie.
Now that you're in heaven, are you still doing the thing where you twist your eyebrow hairs to points?
Yeah, absolutely. Right up in the corner.
Never understood that.
Genie. Yeah, all right, Robbie. How you doing, Oski?
I'm great.
Right. Oski. Right.
Is there really an oil derrick in heaven?
Yeah. Big oil, Derek. Yeah, we're drilling for gold. Black gold, Texas tea. Yeah, Genie. Yeah, Siri. Yeah, wonderful stuff. All right, and you're having a good time up here with George H.W. Bush.
Big fan.
Yeah, big fan.
Famous Texans.
Super fan. All right, move on. I got
thank
no more
you,
there.
Thank you, Larry Hagman.
Thank you.
Mike, Justin Bieber. Yes. I would not be doing my job if I didn't bring you the hot Bieber news. He appeared with Ariana Grande at Coachella and did the worst lip sync I've ever seen. Mm. His defense is that it was last minute. They had zero sound check and zero time to prepare. Oh, so they just played a track.
Singing?
But here's the thing. He didn't even bring the mic to his mouth until he was one sentence into the song. Find this video. It is so sloppy. But here is Justin Bieber along with Ariana Grande.
This was not planned at all. Thank you for being here, Justin.
Thanks for having me.
We love you so much. Let's do it.
I'll take every single piece of the blame if you want me to.
And now perfect, with counterpoint.
Like a perfect recording.
And now with counterpoint, here's Maddie Masiello. Oh, she has no microphone, so she cannot defend.
Oh, she's getting one right now.
Okay,
she's
getting right now. Because you know she loves Justin Bieber.
She's a Bieber fan.
Yeah, she's a
Bieber
apologist.
Do we still have the Justin Bieber cutout at the
office?
Yes, we do. Uh-huh. So what's his deal, Maddie?
Well, at least he's self-aware enough. I think he wasn't even trying to lip sync. He was like, hey, this is me. Take it or leave it.
So why did he then put the mic to his lip? I don't buy your argument. I'm not buying what you're selling.
Well, that's all I got.
Thank you.
All right. Mike, right now in Europe, right now in Asia, children are being taught the principles of STEM so they
that's
have a better future.
I'm still laughing at that's all I got. That makes
take
me
take it or leave it.
All right. STEM, yes. Science, technology, engineering, math.
That's right. So the world will be better in Asia. The world will be better in Europe. What are we doing in America?
What are we doing?
In Idaho, a lady bought a giant potato from the Potato Council and turned it into a hotel.
Since this wasn't intended to ever be a house, it was a lot of work. The bathroom is in a separate structure, a grain silo bin, and then the potato is like the living bedroom area.
I rent to couples, so it's designed for couples. I think there will be a lot of staycations, and hopefully it will be a thing like if your family is coming from out of town, like, oh, you have to go spend a night in the Big Idaho Potato Hotel.
Yeah, you have to spend a night, Mike, in the giant potato hotel.
Have you seen the commercial that starts out like an education commercial, and then it's people going to a roller coaster? the family going to a roller coaster.
No, but it sounds...
They're running down, and it's like, it's an anti-education commercial.
Oh, no.
It's like fun. It's like, you know what's important? Minding the... What's more important? What is more important than molding the minds of our youth and educating our children? Being first in line at the brand new roller coaster. Oh, yeah, aren't we fun?
Well, at least you're not sleeping in a potato.
I'm going to find out. If you see it, make a note of it. Let me know, because I want to out that advertiser, because it really kind of was interesting to me that that's where we are now. We're making parents feel great about,
not doing the hard stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Precisely.
Mike, I will say this. It's not easy to go to an amusement park. Usually a long drive.
I know. The molding minds.
A long drive.
The struggle is real. This was burning up the YouTube yesterday. I don't know if this Wheel of Fortune contestant farted or not, because the camera was not on her. And the only thing that
could
makes
it have
me,
been Pat?
No. It's definitely the lady is the source of the sound, because Pat comments to it and then laughs again later. So I don't know exactly what happened. So what we're going to do a Fox News thing here.
Please.
I'm going to present it. You're going to decide.
Very good.
Wheel of Fortune.
Hey, on a free play.
Excuse me.
That's right. I didn't hear. All I heard was a noise.
Oh.
Yeah, two O's. Yeah. I just heard a sound. Unidentifiable.
Play from the beginning again.
See, I'm not sure what happened, because
she
the camera
said, excuse
was,
me, like I, she farted.
I know. And I will say this. How shall I say this? The it's woman loud. Is a bit zoftic.
Okay, and it's loud to it pick is. Up on the lavalier.
Well, it depends on where you clip it. once again, we close.
With no, the play the
Wheel
the
of Fortune. Yeah, the Wheel of Fortune. Right.
Hang on, a free play.
Excuse me.
That's right. I didn't hear. All I heard was a noise.
Oh my God.
Yeah, two O's. Yeah. I just heard a sound. They're unidentifiable.
That was a fart.
500.
F.
F, yes. There's an F.
As in fart.
So, I gotta find it. I got them all. I've DVR them.
So this is a fairly. I don't know. You know, it might have been a leak from a show that hasn't aired yet. Who knows?
Yeah,
but
a
it
leak.
Was.
Get
a,
it?
Anyway, yeah, so we report. You decide. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
Another one in the can. Thanks for joining us for another riveting episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. In the can. Depends. Remember, if you take anything away from today's show, it depends on where you clip it. Don't forget to send us your yaks. Call us 888-920-6673. Yaks open 24/7, especially the wee hours of the morning.
Do it.
Sitting at a kitchen table with a bottle of booze there. Call us. We'd love to hear from you. Anything you want. Also, you can send Rob a letter, 2Bs, MikeOMaraShow.com. For Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara, this is... For Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get it all done. All right. It's been a weird
morning. We're good.
We're good. This is Mike O'Mara saying thanks for supporting me. We'll be bye-bye.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I have a sentimental weakness for my children, and I spoil them, as you can see. They talk when they should listen.
Augustus, how does it make you feel to be the first golden ticket finder?
Hungry.
Any other feelings?
Feel sorry for Wonka. It's gonna cost him a fortune in fudge.
Goodbye, Dilly.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.